It's Spoiler in Time, folks. This week on Spoiler in Time, we, like every other week, take all the hard work from Cord Killers, our other show, where we figure out how to watch things and watch things. The things we're going to talk about this week are The Boys, episode 8 of season 2, the finale, Lovecraft Country, episode 9, season 1, the penultimate episode, and Star Trek Lower Decks, also a finale, episode 10 of season 1. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Hey, man, dude, I'm excited. Let's dive right back in. Or I guess, do we want to bring on Meryl Barr as well?
I think we should, because he watched Lower Decks and he's here, and he'll feel really weird if we don't.
Look, I get, you know, you drop one S-bomb during the live recording, then now I'm realizing it's going to get cut out and no one's actually going to know what happened. But you know what? We're going to roll with it. We're going to roll.
Yeah. No, it's all good.
Little asterisk. Technically, you all heard a swear-free Cord Killers from me, but there's actually an asterisk next to
it's visual effects.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's talk Star Trek Lower Decks. This is the final episode of season one, No Small Parts. And in No Small Part, Brian, this had the most Star Trek references of any episode of Lower Decks yet.
Yeah, but what's interesting is, in spoiler alert for what Bryce was saying, Bryce, who did not is not fluent in Star Trek, you said this was one of your favorite episodes?
I did think that as a standalone story that this was the most thrilling, had the most believable stakes, had the most progress, and but I also think was hampered by its ending a bit. I don't know.
Interesting.
For the Trekkerati here, how do you guys feel about it?
First of all, the ending was great because I liked the part where just before the credits, they held up a big old sign that said, Brian was right. We're going to watch all these characters get promoted on the ranks, and it's going to become a bigger story than just working in the basement of a starship.
Yeah, and I've been waiting to see how they're going to handle that. I'm glad you're right. But we leave with Boimler blowing off Mariner. Mariner is like, hey, Boimler, what the hell? You went and got promoted and you left me. And Boimler's like, don't worry about it. It's nothing important. You know, I'll get to it later. So, you know, obviously that's the tension that will begin the next season that will have to be resolved. And I'm very curious how they do it. But yeah, we are going to continue to see these stories grow and move. So it's going to be fun to see how they're able to keep that Lower Decks feel while they do that. Nevertheless, the USS Cerritos encounters a familiar enemy and Tendi helps a struggling recruit find her footing. Certainly doesn't do justice in the logline to this, does it?
No, this is... Oh my God, I love this show. I love this show so much. I love this episode so much. This is... Like, I got so excited so many times throughout this episode. Also, I guarantee you, whoever wrote this episode is a huge fan of Portal 2. because there are so many references to Wheatley with that little robot. What was the cupcake something? Peanut Hamper. I didn't think I could get this excited because all the references, like, it's not that I don't get them. I know when there's references. It's just I kind of don't care because I'm not a big Star Trek guy. But I'll be damned if I didn't, like, I wasn't ready to flip tables when Riker showed up. And, you know, first thing sunscreen, red alert. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm here. Oh, I'm so for all of this. And then, but also just that the bad guy keeps thinking they're all Enterprises because they all come out of the same shop and all the ships kind of look the same. Like, I love that joke of it. I love the why am I forgetting our main character's name? Mariner. When Mariner pulls out all the contraband from the ship and all of the weapons fall out in the hallway. How much contraband is on my ship? It doesn't matter. We're being shot at right now. Like, it's just, this episode was everything. And I rewatched it like this morning, knowing I was coming on in here. It's just, this is definitely my favorite Trek thing ever produced because I think it finds that perfect balance between old Trek and the JJ Trek everyone hated, where it's like, you know, what if the JJ Trek actually liked Trek? This is what this finale of Lower Decks feels like to me.
The Pocklids, which are the enemy, were the ones that kidnapped Geordi in The Next Generation. And so I couldn't tell if it was one or both of what you said, Meryl, where they're like, oh, all the ships kind of look the same, but also the Pocklids are dumb. And so it's like, oh, the dumb Pocklids who can't even tell which ship is which and think they're all Enterprise, but somehow have managed to become one of the most dangerous enemies in the universe. I just found that fantastic. I also like that there were stakes. We had a death in the cast, not in the four Lower Decks characters, but a significant character.
And also a character I rather liked. Yes, he was a one-note joke every single time, and there probably wasn't going to be a lot of development with him, but every time he did his one-note joke, it delivered, and usually it was a surprise punchline when he comes in and breaks Boimler's violin. It in an alternate universe, Star Trek plus jokes, I can't think of an easier setup where you could have gotten away with making everything out of rubber, doing a total reset, no matter what happens, decide that there are no consequences or anything. But I 100% believe that dude is dead. He's dead and gone, and Boimler is off the ship, and it's going to be a while till they get together. It's like they are choosing to walk the hard path, and they didn't have to. And that's part of the reason that the storytelling is just, I'm just in love with all of it. If I'm not mistaken, I believe this was an intentional Easter egg, because I believe this is directed by one of the guys who worked on Rick and Morty, right?
The show is created by Rick and Morty.
McMahon is the creator. Barry J. Kelly directed this episode.
Okay. There's a character. I know there's some kind of crossover, but I believe it's Dan Harmon's assistant is named Steve Levy, and they definitely had a character that they went out of their way to say his last name was Levy and his first name was Steve, and he was just there. Like I have to think that was an intentional cameo that they did, and possibly even voiced by him. For all I know, I don't know.
You know what really sells me on the death of our guy is when the ship explodes, he's smiling, and that's that kind of death you give someone who's not coming back. Like the I'm dying in battle like I always dreamed I would because I'm a warrior, and it's like, oh dude, hang on baby bear. This is all like you, here's the thing, if they bring him back, they will have undermined a perfect exit for that character.
I don't believe that they'll do that.
I will be very disappointed if he comes back in anything other than a memory or a flashback or something like that.
Or maybe a holodeck thing or something.
But he had the best day of his life, right?
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't want him to go out any other way. He got to do all the things.
At what point during the episode did you realize, oh my God, they're just going to do a straight up badass Next Generation episode?
Yeah.
When they blow up the ship.
Oh, you mean at the end of the episode?
No,
at the very beginning. Were they?
Yeah. Because it starts with the big reveal, right? That should have been the dominant piece. We haven't even mentioned it yet, that Boimler accidentally, you know, tells everyone in the bridge that Mariner is the captain's daughter. You know, blows their cover. And yet that ends up only being a side plot within the battle, because, you know, after we get a couple of scenes of everybody being nice to her because now they know she's the captain's daughter, suddenly all hell breaks loose. And that, yeah, you're right. I feel like that's the point where you're like, this is a serious episode. This is serious tension.
Like the stuff with that, and my favorite thing is, you know, Boimler finds out at the end of episode 9 that it's mother-daughter. And then they don't like hold on that reveal. It's, you know, first scene, you know, first act, boom, finds out, and then it, you know, beam him up, and then he's screaming and crying in front of the captain on the bridge. It's like, God bless them for not holding back on that. I was so
You don't think that they've held this back the entire season?
Well, they held back the reveal, but they, you know, they're usually once you have Boimler find out, you would hold on that for like a couple episodes.
I mean, they went the first three episodes. So they mentioned it in the first episode and then they never even referenced it in the second episode, which I really appreciated because it wasn't like they teased it every single episode. And then finally, after this tantric wait, we get the release. It was like kind of not a thing for the bulk of this season. And then they sort of ramped it up last episode by, you know, reminding us that it's even a secret and that it's a big deal that Boimler even found out. And then they resolved it the very next episode. So I didn't feel like it was held back too much.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm glad they didn't. Like, I'm like, they just ran with it. And it's like they could, because you could have milked like at least two episodes out of Boimler finds out and Boimler agrees to keep the secret. And then immediately it's nope, Boimler screwed up and now everyone knows.
And we got Badgie, the return of Badgie.
Badgie! this episode's just so great. Like,
we mentioned the Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis appearances, voicing their old characters at the USS Titan, which honestly, this isn't even a thing, but I was like, why do they have the movie era uniforms on still when the Cerritos folks all have these new like piping oriented TNG like uniforms? But whatever, I don't even care. It was super fun. Was this the one where they made the reference to the Enterprise?
Yes,
they were
heavy on he mentions the Star Trek TOS and he goes, which is what I call it, and he doesn't say the original series, he has those old scientists or something like that.
Likewise,
they also reference the song. It's like, oh, I've been reading up on the journals of the original Enterprise. It's been a long road getting from there.
They
to
sure
here.
Did have a hard time getting from there to here to there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Also, we have to talk about the fact that Rutherford lost his memories.
Oh, that's right.
Right. With the more stakes, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And in classic Tendi style, she does the like, oh no, do you know what this means? We get to become friends all over again. Like, she's like super Okey-dokey. Consistent. Yeah. Yeah.
It's this show is
so good. So good.
This might be the only show that I've seen in COVID world that I will actively seek to rewatch over the holidays when I'm looking for like a
Ted
real
Lasso.
Good.
Yeah, after I get done with Ted Lasso, I will rewatch Lower Decks. Absolutely. Yeah,
I love Ted Lasso. It's one of my top shows of the year. I don't rewatch almost anything. I will likely rewatch Star Trek Lower Decks.
All right, folks, that is Star Trek Lower Decks, the finale, no small part, episode 10, season 1. We're going to bid adieu to Meryl Barr. But Meryl, before you go, let folks know where they can find more of what you're doing these days.
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/MerylBarr, MerrillBarr. That's the best way to keep up to date with all my stuff. There's nothing I can talk about right now. There are things happening. I just can't talk about them. And you'll hear about them when I can hear talk about them.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Meryl.